Well, blessed Sabbath to one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. I pray that God has blessed and kept you safe throughout this past week, and what a joy it is to come back together in fellowship with one another and in worshiping our Father in spirit and in truth. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording. And here we are, almost the last Friday of the year. We got one more Friday coming up, one more Sabbath, and then we'll be into 2017. And I tell you, when God first called me into the ministry, my kids were still very young. And I think the oldest was 5, and the youngest was 2. And my prayer at the time was, Lord, please allow the children to get to the point that they can walk on their own so that if the end comes and we have to flee, that they'll be able to keep their own as we go through the mountains. And now they're in their 30s, and still here we are. But praise God for allowing us to receive His merciful kindness and His long suffering with each one of us, and to lead us on step by step, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. So He has not forsaken us, even though His return is being delayed. And we know the reason for the delay is that His people are not yet ready. So let us indeed get ourselves ready and prepared to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air, putting off our sins, purifying ourselves through His grace and strength, and allowing Him to work within us according to His good will and pleasure. And what a privilege it is to hasten the coming of our Lord. So blessed Sabbath, one and all. And our opening song is titled, More Like the Master. More like the Master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for the work He bids me do. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. More like the Master is my daily prayer. More strength to carry the crosses I must bear. More earnest effort to bring His kingdom in, more of His Spirit the wanderers to win. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord. Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of his love to others I would show. More self-denial like his in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. And may this be our pleading with God on a daily basis. Purge us, Lord, from sin. Wash us and keep us thine forevermore. And he will do so, because nothing in this world, even if the entire satanic horde was all around you, pressing in on every side, not even they can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. And praise his holy name, that he has such a close bond of union with his true people. So more like the Master I would ever be needs to be our daily goal. Well, it's time for opening prayer, and whoever would like to offer this prayer, please go right ahead.
Our Father, we thank you for us to be able to have this blessed table, and thank you for us to be able to prepare ourselves for another blessed Sabbath. We go so for ourselves and our beliefs and our blessed experience. And we thank you for us to be able to come into this room one day another for starting everything. Forgive us all for our sins, our memories, our past experience. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong with ourselves. I pray that you may be able to strengthen us, let us not be able to feel or discouraged. I also pray that you may be able to help us be able to overcome the greatest of our fears. Let us call to you, give praises unto you. And we will be looking forward to being in your promises. Let us be able to keep on helping these people understand who you are. This much prayer and just press hold and amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. So welcome one and all, and happy Sabbath to you. We're continuing in chapter 32 of our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets, titled The Law and the Covenants. And for those that would like to have a copy of Patriarchs and Prophets, please visit our website at lightministries.com/ID818.htm, and you'll be able to read to your heart's content regarding Patriarchs and Prophets and also other books that are there. And we're about halfway down on page 370 to the paragraph that starts out, This Same Covenant. And we left off last time understanding that the Bible presents two different kinds of laws throughout the Old Testament. One law was God's Ten Commandments that was in existence before sin came into the world. And the other was a temporary law that was brought in because sin came into the world. And this law dealt with sacrifices and different priestly rituals and different set courses in which were to be followed in order to point people to the Lamb of God, which taketh away their sins. And happy Sabbath, dear Brother Courtney. So, when Christ died on the cross, the temporary ceremonial laws were done away with because they were a result of sin. But God's Ten Commandment law could not have been done away with because it was in existence before sin. So Christ's death ended the sacrificial system, the feast day systems, the ceremonial systems, but kept into full force every aspect of God's Ten Commandment law. We also learned that God's Ten Commandment law has no provision, it has no way of forgiving us for breaking it. It only points us the way of righteousness. It condemns us for breaking it, but it can't forgive us. So when we see that we have broken God's law, keeping God's law from that point on cannot free us from breaking it in the past. And so then in order to find forgiveness, we have to look outside of God's law to God himself. And he sent his son to provide for us a way to have the breaking of his law forgiven, and we have another chance to show our loyalty to God. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. The same covenant was renewed to Abraham in the promise, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Genesis 22:18. This promise pointed to Christ. So Abraham understood it. You can see Galatians 3:8-16. And Abraham trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It was this faith that was accounted unto him for righteousness. The covenant with Abraham also maintained the authority of God's law. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Genesis 17:1. The testimony of God concerning his faithful servant was, "Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Genesis 26:5. So we see here that God's law was in existence after sin. It was in existence before sin. It was in existence after Christ died on the cross, and it's still in existence today. And God required Abraham and all of the generations of mankind to keep his law, to follow his will, and to be thou perfect. But if we've broken the law, then how can we be perfect? There is no way in and of ourselves that we can become perfect. The only way we can is to flee to our Savior, who will forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, clothe us in his precious robe, and then we can, in and through Christ, be perfect, keeping God's commandments, following his will. So without Christ, we can do nothing towards perfection. But connected with Christ, we can do all things in perfection. That's the covenant promise that was given to Abraham, that was given to all the patriarchs, and is given to you and me today. So Abraham was faithful. He obeyed God's voice. He lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Abraham kept God's charge. He kept God's commandments, his statutes, and his laws. Continuing. And the Lord declared to him, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So if we live by every word that proceeds from God and we keep his covenant, his commandments, then what will God do for us? He will be a God unto us. We will be his people. And God will lead us step by step to eternal life, just as he did to all of his followers in the past. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings. My question is, before the law was put on the two tablets, was it still also written on the nerves of mankind?
I'm sorry, dear brother. Could you please repeat your question? I didn't quite understand it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Am I clear and loud? I didn't know that. My question was, before the Ten Commandments was put on the scripts of the stones, is it possible that Adam had it on the nerves of his body structure to remind him?
Okay, thank you. God's Ten Commandment law was told to Adam and Eve and to the children afterwards because they still were able to have a communion with God even after sin. But there was nothing written down to my understanding. So with the memory of mankind so much better before the flood than it is now, they were able to retain every word of God's oral instruction to them. And we can see that God's commandments were in existence in the time of Abraham, which was before the Israelites in Mount Sinai. And there was also a sacrificial system established after sin and taught to Adam and Eve, and they taught it to their children, because we were told in Genesis 4, I believe it is, that Abel brought the correct sacrifices to the Lord, which was a lamb, and offered it there for his sins, whereas Cain decided that he would not bring a lamb for his atonement for sins, but he would bring the products of his own labor, vegetables and stuff that he had grown. And God refused that offering, that sacrifice, because it had no savior connected with it. It was all the product of the works of mankind instead of faith put into an innocent substitute victim for sin. So we see that the ceremonial system was brought in after sin had come into the world. Now, the system was developed in the councils of God before sin came into the world and was on hand in case Adam and Eve chose to sin. Sadly, they did. And as soon as they chose to sin, then there was a way of escape. And that way of escape was Jesus Christ. And as a way to keep it fresh in the minds of mankind, what the Savior would do for them in sacrificing his life, this ceremonial and sacrificial system was brought in and established after sin had come into the world. And it was taught to Adam and Eve. It was then taught to their children and so on. And Noah continued it. You can, Genesis 10, I believe it is, mentions that after the ark had rested in the mountains of Ararat and the flood waters had receded enough and God let them out of the ark, that one of the first things he did was to build an altar and offer sacrifice to God. So that sacrificial system was carried from after the flood through Noah and Shem throughout that entire generation. So before sin, God had written the Ten Commandments into of Adam and Eve. After sin came into the world, it was still his design to write the law into the hearts of all those who would accept the Savior as their substitute, their surety, their sacrifice. And it's still God's purpose to write his law in our hearts and minds today. That's the only way that we can truly keep God's law and have our service acceptable to him, is with his law written in our hearts and minds, the very foundation of all of our actions, our thoughts, our words. And it's only made possible because of the plan of salvation to save you and me from sin and destruction. There's a question in the room. It says, where did Cain's wife come from? Well, that's an interesting question. The Bible doesn't mention that Adam and Eve had daughters, but you know that they did. And only the most important children in their offspring were mentioned, but they had a whole lot of children. And so Cain had to have married perhaps one of his sisters or perhaps one of his nieces. And at that point in time, there was no danger of genetic inbreeding problems like there is today. Amen. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, God only told us the high points. He didn't tell us everything. And that's true. That's true. You can look at the scriptures as giving you the foundation and the skeleton, if you will, of the big picture. And what I love the spirit of prophecy so much for is it helps to put flesh on the bones of the big picture. It helps to give us a more clear understanding of what was taking place. It doesn't contradict what is stated in the scriptures. It just enlarges upon it. and allows you to comprehend a little more clearly what was taking place. So because Abraham kept God's commandments, he lived by every word that came out of the mouth of God, and he was perfect in his generation. God established his covenant with him and with his seed afterwards. Continuing. Though this covenant was made with Adam and renewed to Abraham, it could not be ratified until the death of Christ. It had existed by the promise of God since the first intimation of redemption had been given. It had been accepted by faith, yet when ratified by Christ, it is called a new covenant. The law of God was the basis of this covenant, which was simply an arrangement for bringing men again into harmony with the divine will, placing them where they could obey God's law. Another compact, called in Scripture the Old Covenant, was formed between God and Israel at Sinai and was then ratified by the blood of a sacrifice. The Abrahamic Covenant was ratified by the blood of Christ, and it is called the Second or New Covenant because the blood by which it was sealed was shed after the blood of the First Covenant. That the new covenant was valid in the days of Abraham is evident from the fact that it was then confirmed both by the promise and by the oath of God, the two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. So we have the Abrahamic covenant that was sealed by blood, and Christ ratified it by his blood when he died on the cross. But the old covenant was given to the Jews, and it was also ratified by blood, or brought into existence by blood, I guess, and then ratified by the blood of Christ when he died on the cross. So we see here the covenant made with Abraham and the covenant made with the Israelites. The covenant with the Israelites was done away with. The covenant made with Abraham was also fulfilled in Christ, because it was from Abraham's seed that Christ was to be born through, the same covenant that was made with Adam from his seed. Then it went to Seth. From there it went to Noah. From there it went to Shem. Then it went to Abraham. It went to Isaac. It then went to Jacob. And finally was fulfilled by Christ. Are there any thoughts, comments? Any questions, dear ones, before we continue?
It makes me think what the arguments are of Jews today, why they don't accept their king has come. And they have to do away with such chapters as Isaiah 53, talking about the suffering of our Lord. And the curse is placed on Daniel chapter 9, the fulfillment of that very event. Of his life, death, and being their king and high priest. Has anyone talked to many Jews lately?
I haven't lately, but I do know that the rabbis put a curse upon any Jew that would study into Daniel chapter 9. Dealing specifically when the Messiah was to come and what he was to do in his life. And the reason they did that was because if you understand Daniel chapter 9 dealing with the coming of the Messiah, then you would recognize that the Jews murdered their God when they united with the state and put Christ on the cross. And that's something that they just will not accept, that they did anything wrong at the time. But those that love God more than they fear curses of men, more than they fear their own religious church leaders' anger and persecution, those who love God more than they do the world will not be intimidated away from searching the scriptures, because that's where we find eternal life. That's where we find Jesus, the Word of God, the living manna. So even though custom and tradition, and even though outright curses and persecution are trying to keep people from understanding God's Word, I mean, there was a whole 1260 years of the Dark Ages because the Catholic Church was trying to keep people away from understanding God's Word. Yet, God's Word still exists. It is still reaching the hearts of men and women and children, and still bringing people directly to the Savior for salvation. But if the Jews study Daniel 9, 24 to 27 especially, and understood that the Messiah was indeed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he fulfilled every aspect of Scripture dealing with the Messiah's come, and what he would do when he was there, and how he would die in the midst of the last week, and how 3.5 years later, with the stoning of Stephen, the Jewish nation cut themselves away from God and was set aside, and God chose another people to take his gospel and truth to the world through. And here we are in the very last days. The early Christians failed. It was given to the Protestants. They failed. It was given to the Adventists. They failed. And now it's given to the remnant. There's no other group of people listed in the scripture. So we know that the remnant are going to fulfill God's purpose and spread the truth around the world. And the Savior will come in our generation. The question is, are we going to connect ourselves with the Savior? And like Abraham, become perfect in him, keeping God's law, having it written in our hearts and our minds, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's the question for us today. More like the Master, we must be. If we're not growing more into his likeness, then we are growing farther away from his likeness. And praise God for the grace and the strength that he provides us to become like him. Continuing. But if the Abrahamic covenant contained the promise of redemption, why was another covenant formed at Sinai? In their bondage, the people had to a great extent lost the knowledge of God and of the principles of the Abrahamic covenant. In delivering them from Egypt, God sought to reveal to them his power and his mercy, that they might be led to love and trust him. He brought them down to the Red Sea, where, pursued by the Egyptians, escape seemed impossible. that they might realize their utter helplessness, their need of divine aid, and then he wrought deliverance for them. Thus they were filled with love and gratitude to God and with confidence in his power to help them. So when God brings us into very tight and difficult situations, it's not because he's forsaken us. It's not because he doesn't love us. But it's because he wants to come close to us and to have us come close to him. To be filled with love and gratitude to him who we've looked to for deliverance, and he has delivered us. Without that tight situation, we would not have grown to love and appreciate God as much as we could have. And praise his holy name for tempering, for toning down, for weakening the intensity of the trials and the tribulations that he allows to come our way, so that we, by relying upon him, can endure, can hold fast, and not be borne away. So God delivered the children of Israel from that very intense situation, being surrounded by the Egyptian host that was ready to kill them, and having the Red Sea directly in front of them preventing their escape. Thus they had to look to God for help. And when they did so, he miraculously delivered them from all their enemies. And they were definitely appreciative to God. And with confidence and hope and trust in him built, they were ready to enter into a covenant relationship with him. Continuing, he had bound them to himself as their deliverer from temporal bondage. But there was a still greater truth to be impressed upon their minds. Living in the midst of idolatry and corruption, they had no true conception of the holiness of God, of the exceeding sinfulness of their own hearts, their utter inability in themselves to render obedience to God's law, and their need of a Savior. All this they must be taught. So the Abrahamic covenant was still in force, but it was not understood like it needed to be. It was forgotten. And so here is 2 to 5 million Israelites that have no idea the true conception of God's holiness, no idea how exceeding sinfulness is their own hearts, no idea that they cannot of themselves keep God's law, and very little understanding of their need of Jesus Christ as their Savior, the promised Messiah. All these things they had to be taught. So now you can understand a little more why the old covenant was given to them.
God brought them to Sinai. He manifested his glory. He gave them his law with the promise of great blessing on condition of obedience. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Exodus 19:5-6. The people did not realize the sinfulness of their own hearts, and that without Christ it was impossible for them to keep God's law. They readily entered into covenant with God, feeling that they were able to establish their own righteousness. They declared, "All that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient." Exodus 25:4-7. They had witnessed the proclamation of the law in awful majesty and had trembled with terror before the mount. And yet only a few weeks passed before they broke their covenant with God and bowed down to worship a graven image. They could not hope for the favor of God through a covenant which they had broken. And now, seeing their sinfulness and their need of pardon, they were brought to feel their need of a Savior revealed in the Abrahamic covenant and shadowed forth in the sacrificial offerings. Now by faith and love, they were bound to God as their deliverer from the bondage of sin. Now they were prepared to appreciate the blessing of the new covenant.
Amen, and thank you, brother. So the children of Israel did not understand their own weaknesses, their own inability to keep God's law in and of themselves. And when God offered his covenant to them, saying, "If you will keep my law and my commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people," they very quickly declared, "All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient," because they figured they could keep God's law without his help. And dear ones, this same lack of understanding of our weaknesses is still present today among God's people. What the children of Israel should have said was, "With the Lord's help, all that he has said we will do and be obedient." And that's what we need to declare today as well. The saints keep God's commandments. They have the faith of Jesus. Not because they're self-righteous, but because they allow God to connect with them and work within them according to his good pleasure. They've chosen to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, to rely upon his grace and strength to keep his commandments. So we may know that the seventh day is Saturday. We may know that it begins at sundown Friday and ends at sundown Saturday. We recognize the command of God, but we can't keep this sacred time holy to God without his divine grace and strength. We may think it's a very easy matter that as soon as sundown occurs on Friday, we're going to stop all work. But if we don't rely upon God's grace and strength, then we're going to break the Sabbath at some point in between its beginning and its ending. Because we are weak. We're not strong. Christ Christ is all powerful. If we recognize our weakness, then we're going to flee to the Savior for strength. And when we do so, then His strength in us brings perfection. Christ says, "My strength shall be made perfect in weakness," our weakness. But Christ won't keep the Sabbath for us. We have to choose to keep it holy by following God's law, His law of love. But we can't do it without Christ. And Christ can't do it without us. It's a union. It's a co-partnership. It's a uniting together as one. Christ's divine power in us enables us to keep the Sabbath perfectly. But only if we keep our connection on Christ. Amen. It's a mutual willingness, and it's also a mutual working. And it's all done by faith. We can't literally see Christ next to us. We can't literally see our hand in His. We can't literally see His divine grace coming to us and strengthening us to do His will. It's by faith. So praise God for this plan of salvation that enables us to come boldly to the throne of grace in any time of need and be able to have the Savior empower us while He is united, yoked together with us in keeping God's commandments. Faith and love combined will enable us to become perfect. God's love in us and our love for Him will deliver us from the bondage of sin. And once that occurs in our life, and it has to occur on a moment-by-moment basis, not just a one time when you first accepted Christ as your Savior, but all the time, then we can begin to appreciate the blessings of the new covenant, all made possible by our Savior. Amen. Some comments in the room, it says, that's like our spiritual warfare today. That's true. Another comment is, the devil is laying traps for us every minute of every day. And that's true. And that's why we cannot take our eyes off of Christ for a moment. If we do so, it may take us 3 days of careful search and agonizing prayer to find Him. Just like what happened with Joseph and Mary when they lost sight of the Savior. It took them 3 days to find Him again. And amen. To God be the glory, moment by moment. And that's how we grow in grace, is moment by moment. Step by advancing step. And it's one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time, because of the intensity of the battle. connected with Christ, we can begin to appreciate, to contemplate, to understand the plan of salvation, the blessings of the new covenant. Are there any other thoughts, comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. This is not really on a particular topic. This is my weekly testimony that is getting for me. And I just wanted, as always, to testify for what God has done to me this week. I apologize if I'm out of time tonight. If you all remember, a few years back, I was talking about how I put out tracts and books and so forth, and I had asked if anybody out there had extra books or tracts that they could send me. I don't always have the financial means to do it. I definitely have the means to get out there and do the work. And I received this week two huge cases of books. One was Steps to Christ, and one was The Great Controversy. Now, I don't know exactly who sent them, and I apologize for my ignorance, because I had put my name to several of you with my address, and whoever sent them to me, first and foremost, I thank the Lord for all things, and whoever did send them to me, I appreciate it so much, and I praise the Lord for all my blessings, because God knows I don't always have the means to buy these things, but He knows that I'm going to get out there and do the work and get them out there. And once again, I am truly blessed. You know, I tell people sometimes, I say, you know, my pocketbook's empty, but my cupboard's never bare. And that doesn't necessarily mean food. And I, once again, God always provides me with the things that I need, because I believe that He knows that I can do the work. And whoever sent me these cases of books, and they were huge, I appreciate it so much, and I love you, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to have these books to hand out, and I assure you that your investment will not be to avail. I mean, you know, to no avail, rather. And once again, I thank God for everything He does for me. And the brother and sister or whoever sent me these books, thank you so much. And anybody has any kind of tracks, books, CDs, DVDs, if you have extra, you can send them my way, and you can be rest assured that I will put them out by the grace of God. Thank you all. Happy Sabbath. Hugs and love.
Well, praise the Lord indeed, dear sister. And to God be the glory. Well, dear ones, is there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other things that you'd like to share, songs or testimonies? Please feel free. We'll go ahead and stop here on our study book, and we'll pick it up next time at the paragraph, The Terms of the Old Covenant. So please go right ahead, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everyone over there. It's morning right now here. I'd like to put my testimony before you. A week ago, we traveled to Kenya, a group from Uganda, Kenneth and the family and myself and my daughter went to Kenya, and reached late at night. But God was leading our way. We had laid at the border because we had not vaccinated with yellow fever and it was mandatory. So we told the Kenyans that Uganda is yellow fever free, so we don't vaccinate. And they said, no, here it's mandatory. Without card, yellow fever card, you not enter. Then they told us, go back, or you pay the money, we vaccinate you. They wanted like 2,000 Kenya shillings, which was too much for us. It was even more than the money we could use for the journey. So we had to go back to Uganda. Then the soldiers from Uganda told us, no, those people want some money. You go and talk to them, they will allow you go. So we went on our knees, we prayed, and said, God, help us that these people's hearts may be softened to cross to Kenya for your work. So we had laid there at the border to cross. So that meant we would reach at night. Indeed, when we reached their town where we were boarding off, it was late 10 p.m. So cars to the destination we are going were not there. So we are worried.
Yeah, he lost internet connection, so we'll give him just a few moments here to come back in and continue his very interesting testimony. So thank you for your patience, Derwent. Well, it's taking a little bit longer, and while we're waiting, there was a request for the hymn, Give Me the Bible. So let's go ahead and sing this hymn, and hopefully dear Brother Joel will make it back by the time we finish. And those who know this hymn, please feel free to take a verse. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
The Bible all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety all the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear ones. That was beautiful. When Brother Joel was giving his testimony, were you all understanding what he was saying? Okay, all right. Some were and some weren't. What I was able to pick up from his testimony is that when he and some other brethren were traveling from Uganda into Kenya, and they were holding camp meetings there in Kenya, and when they got to the border of Kenya, the guards that were there asked them if they had been vaccinated against yellow fever. And they said no. And they said, well, then you cannot cross the border into Kenya without having that vaccination. And so here's a doctor that can vaccinate you. You go see him and pay the money for vaccination, come back here with the slip proving you've been vaccinated, and we'll let you cross the border. Well, the vaccination would have cost them more money than the travel expenses they had to get into Kenya. And so you can see that the guards there were getting a kickback from forcing the individuals to go and see this doctor, this clinic, to be vaccinated for yellow fever. They had a financial interest in forcing the individuals crossing the border to do that. So Brother Joel and I believe it was Kenneth and some others were stuck. You know, they didn't have the money to go around to a different part of the border, you know, several hundred miles away, and cross at that point. So they didn't quite know what to do, and God led them to just sort of camp right there in that area for the time being. And they prayed and asked God for wisdom on what to do to solve this situation and to plead for him to intervene and to deliver them from this dilemma so that they'd be able to continue into Kenya and go to the camp meetings where they had messages to give. And right when he lost his internet connection, he was saying that about 10 p.m. that night, the guards were no longer there. They had gone home and were not watching the border. So now, and that's when he got cut off. So you can imagine that they were able to come up to the border. There was a different group of people there that were not there earlier in the morning. And they didn't require that they had to have this vaccination. And so they were able to cross the border and enter into Kenya and go to the camp meetings. And we know that Brother Joel made it to the camp meetings because he gave us a report about how they were able to baptize several individuals, and the meetings were very blessed. So praise God that no matter what the devil tries to do to keep us from doing his will, yet, God has ways and means of defeating the enemy and allowing us through his grace and strength and divine power to gain the victory. So praise God indeed. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other testimonies or songs, dear ones? Please feel free.
I like to sing a song called Praise Him, Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful well proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, o'er the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen, bro. It's also one of my favorites. I just wanted to say regarding Brother Joel's question earlier on regarding Ten Commandments before Mount Sinai, there's actually scriptural proof that you can show each one of the Ten Commandments mentioned either being broken or recognized. And I tried to put it in the room, but it was too big. But it's certainly been studied out. I'm actually working on making it more extensive, so I haven't got a link to the website of ours. But it's definitely there. And, of course, it's in the New Testament as well. So it's always been there. So you can use that because there are so many people that will say to you boldly, almost as with a sense of victory in their voice, that you cannot show me that the moral law was there before it was given on Mount Sinai. And, of course, to any an unbeliever or a pagan or whatever, they know that morality is necessary. So they kind of cover that up with the idea that, oh, you should love your neighbor as yourself and God with all your heart. And of course, that's absolutely correct. But what they miss in saying that is they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to regulate. They don't know how to tell what that is because, after all, most people that say this recognize that we have sinful natures. So it's kind of like they make a law within a law, and then that's okay because they think it comes under their heading they just made up for a moral law for all society to replace the Ten Commandments.
You're welcome, dear brother, and praise God for allowing me to understand enough of what Brother Joel was saying to understand it and relate it back to you. But dear brother, that would be an excellent study, an excellent chart, and a link to have. I mean, we can see the Sabbath was definitely there, the seventh day there at creation. We can see the commandment, thou shalt not murder, because Cain murdered Abel and God considered it a sin. So, I mean, we can see at least those two commandments there. But yeah, that would be a wonderful study when you get it all done, and love to have you present it to us. But definitely have a link to your study, dear brother. And thank you so much for bringing that to our attention and understanding. Amen. That's another one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Cain broke that by worshiping the product of his hands, bringing that before God instead of following God's prescribed method of worship. Amen. Well, as we've been dealing with God's grace, the hymn comes up, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Amen. The Lord has promised good to us. His word, our hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Amazing grace indeed. A divine miracle occurring millions of times each day. And praise God, we can be a part of it. Dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs, testimonies, thoughts, questions, anything else? Please feel free.
I just want to say thank you so much for lifting my spirits. I felt pretty bad when I came into the room a little bit ago, and now I feel wonderful. Praise God and praise you, my dear brothers and sisters.
Well, praise God indeed. And it's a joy to help you, our dearest sister, and others to be enriched and blessed with the praises to God. And we're told in Psalms, I think it's 18:2, I may be mistaken there, that God dwells in the praises of his people. So if you're feeling down and depressed, start praising God, and God will come to your side, be right next to you, and then the devil can't be there. He has to flee. And that's James 4:7 and 8. So praise God indeed. There was a request for the hymn Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Wonderful hymn. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure. Leaning on the everlasting.
Well, dear sister, here's another song that will help to lift your spirits. You sang it for us last Friday evening, I believe it was, and also last Sabbath, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And we indeed love you, dear sister. Well, Darylins, it's been a wonderful fellowship with you tonight. Thank you so much for your testimonies, your participation, your reading, your songs, and thank you for being my brothers and sisters in the faith. Keep looking up. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow, having another wonderful time with you and with our Godhead. And dear ones, continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ever leaning on his strong, mighty arms and heart of love. So good night, dear ones, and those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath rest. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71, 1, 2, 3. And we need to have closing prayer. Thank you so much for that reminder. And I invite you to please bow your heads and your knees. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care. Thank you for being an ever-present help in times of need. Thank you for being a God close at hand and one that's not far off. And thank you for your long suffering and winking at the times of our ignorance, but now calling us all to repent and to come to our Savior, our mighty fortress and rock, before it's too late. thank you, Father, that the meetings went well over in Africa, and the future meetings coming up, please also work your mighty divine will upon and lead precious souls to come into a greater knowledge of the truth and to find the Savior and to be connected with Him in a bond of union that will never be broken before it's too late. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with all of those who have requested prayer, all of those who are in affliction or suffering, in pain or tribulation. Please draw close to them, and thank you so much for being their great physician and mighty helper, and for being our great physician and mighty helper as well. Please be with us now as we part. Bring us back together again, refreshed and invigorated by our decision to follow our Lord and Savior faithfully to the end, all made possible by His grace, love, and power in our lives. So thank you for being with us tonight and for bringing us back together again soon. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So thank you again for that reminder, and dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Good night.